Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Good evening, Jay. Good evening, Matthew. How are you?
Good evening.
Good evening. Is it a good evening? It's actually quite nice down here. I don't know what it's like up there.
Yeah, it's all right. I've been out walking, funnily enough.
Have you? How many miles you got in this evening?
I'm just at 7.5 now, I think. I've just hit 8 for the day. So
that's bonkers, isn't it?
All right for today.
My creaking is fucked. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Series 3, Episode 35 of the however you want to look at it, better podcast. I'm sure that will be getting looked at in the summer. Between us, we'll probably get our heads together and come up with something equally as witty and funny and hopefully not have to change after another 2.5 seasons. But thanks everybody for jumping on. Loads and loads and loads and loads of stuff to talk about tonight. I appreciate you don't all want to be here too late. So we'll run the intro and we will get into it. Gilly's not ready to do the intro, so I'll have to do it.
Oh, sorry.
Hi, this is Don Matteo and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentel play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Evening, chaps, and thank you for joining me on this somber Tuesday night, because after last night's result, I don't think there's a lot of... I mean, I might be wrong. There might be a fair bit of optimism kicking about, but there certainly isn't in our group chat and on Twitter and everything else. So, how are you feeling, Jay, in a nutshell after last night's results, pretty much all going against us?
Crushed. Just fucking... I hoped that we'd get 2 results go our way as a bare minimum, but... Yeah, I had a bad feeling it wouldn't, and they didn't. And we got pushed into the mire even further, and it just doesn't look good at this point.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always thought Forest were going to beat Saints anyway. So the only one that really went against the grain for me, Gilly, was Everton, and they weren't that great. They weren't even
How
that great.
How did they do that?
Every single time the ball broke, they were in on goal. It was a crazy game to watch, especially when you consider the season that Brighton have had. Every single time the ball broke, it was dangerous.
Turned into us against Bournemouth.
Well, yeah, it was really, really strange to watch. I've seen Brighton a little bit this season, and they've always looked dangerous, but they've always looked marshalled and like they knew exactly what their defensive plan was, not just their offensive plan, but they were all at sea. I mean, you know, Dyche has got his detractors, but he's set up perfectly for that. The bastard.
Yeah, he didn't have. And I think I read the stats at some point, and Yeah, something like, I think they had 10 shots, 5 on target, 5 goals. Every shot they had on target. It's a 50% conversion rate from your shots, and 100% from your shots on target. It's almost...
Did Brighton have Melier in goal for the day?
Yeah. It's funny you should say that, you know, because even in the Forest game was quite similar. I think they had... I don't even remember the Forest score. Was it 5-5 as well, did they get? Was it 4-1?
4-3, wasn't it? 4-2 or something?
4-2, 4-2, wasn't it? Yeah. I think they only had 4 shots on target and converted all 4. So, yeah, it just seems that all the other teams tend to be picking up a little bit of steam right at the right part, you know, at the business end of the season. And whilst...
Well, it was 4-3, the Forest Southampton.
It was 4-3, you're right. 4-3. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, because they scored in the 90-odd minute, didn't they?
And then the Fulham game with the other crazy one as well, that ended up 5-3.
5-3,
yeah.
It was just absolute craziness. And the amount of goals that were flying in, I mean, the one good thing about it is we're not the only one with a leaky defence, but the amount of goals flying in, and we don't look that dangerous. Not like that.
No, but I think it's tough to compare with the level of opposition we played recently, and we'll come on to that. And I know you two actually did BNC. Was it you two?
No, me and
Smiley. Oh, no, it was Carl, wasn't it?
Oh, me and Carl, yeah. Oh, it's easy to mix them two up.
Yeah, Carl was actually meant to join us tonight, but unfortunately, he forgot to put his wig on.
I wasn't prepared for it, in fairness, because I have jumped
on. Gilly, very kindly deserved to jump on and go through a bit of therapy. I've seen a couple of comments actually, Tasha. Think we're here for a bit of therapy. We're all here for therapy. And Danny says we all need therapy. We do. and we absolutely do. You know, the amount of times we say in the group chat, can't be fucked tonight, don't want to do the podcast. And then when we get it done, we actually feel a little bit more positive. Or not even necessarily positive, but better about it, don't we?
Yeah, usually.
Like tonight, I've been sat there thinking, oh, God, podcasting, talking about this. Bollocks.
But right, it does Mark, help. He dodged the pod. We're on about
Sky. He dodged the pod. Spot on.
It does help. It's good to let it out and see how people feel about it.
And I don't know about you two, and we'll probably go into it, delve into it slightly more a little bit later in terms of where we think we stand and how you feel about it. I mean, let's talk firstly then about the performance at the weekend, Jay. I know Gilly's been on with Carl. It came to an impromptu ending, I believe, but they were on. They were on. But yeah, how do you feel about that result performance? Many positives to take, Jay, from that game at City?
I think overall, yeah. I think there's a lot to take from it, but I remember sort of being there watching it, and at halftime, I was thinking, God, we are shit. This is just going to get worse and worse. And the goals that we conceded, I felt, were soft again. Although, to be fair, one of them was a decent effort, and it was probably more difficult for the keeper to see than it looked from where I was stood sort of high up, to be fair to him. But I was disappointed because it felt like we caved a bit too easily again for me. But then in the second half, it were... I don't know, they came out fighting for a change. They put effort in.
We won the second half 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. They got back into the game. Could have got it to 2-2. And I think overall, you've got to take all the positives you can from that. If you're in Big Sam's position, you're playing up everything good that happened in that game for me. And you're saying, you know, lads, most teams have gone there and got absolutely arsehole and you didn't. You went out there and you gave a good account of yourselves. You almost, you know, got a point out of that game near the end there. You had City time wasting at home, and that says it all for me. They were worried at that point. They thought, fucking hell, Leeds are in the ascendancy here. They're coming on to us now. And Rodrigo coming on, that were a great change for me, because he showed again he only needs a sniff of a chance and he can score a goal. Bamford needs about 18 to get one on target.
Yeah, look, and look, they're different classes. We're talking about Patrick Bamford and the best striker in the world there, Jay. You know what I mean? It's chalk and cheese in real life.
I said Rodrigo.
No, you didn't. You said Bamford.
No, before that, I said Rodrigo coming on was a great thing. You just said I compared Bamford to the best striker in the world. I know Rodrigo scored a nice goal, but that's probably a bit
strong. He's not that good.
Yeah. No, look, it's It was a tough one, wasn't it? And we'll come on to the predictions, but the predictions spoke. I mean, we made the predictions, in fairness, before. Gratia was just sacked on air at the time we were on, wasn't he? And they announced Allardyce while we were on last week. Do you remember?
On his birthday.
Yeah, that's right. No, the day after his birthday, wasn't it? He sacked.
Oh, was it?
Sacked on Sunday.
I think it was announced, wasn't it?
It was sacked on his birthday, but it was announced the day after. Yeah, that's right. I don't remember exactly what prediction I gave, but we'll come on to it in a minute. But the actual fact that our predictions didn't levy up with actually the scoreline. Look, City had their chances, but that's football. If you don't take them, we had a couple of chances as well. We had who's starring all these messages? It's putting me off.
Me.
You have to take 2-1 out of that game. I think, look, City missed the chances, we missed our chances. That's football. To say they had more chances than us, we expected that, but they only won 2-1. I think, like you say, when we made the predictions, they were quite pessimistic, and then we heard that Allardyce was going to be at the reins, and we almost all changed them, but only by a goal, a 2 each way.
No, you didn't.
That's right, yeah. You didn't, but I'd be very surprised if anyone got this score anywhere near. But let's go on.
I can tell you, one person got 3 points.
So they got the scoreline correct. Tell us, Gilly, get your brand out.
Yeah. Shit, hang on, let me swap to top back. Here we go. Not yet.
Jesus Christ.
Did you break it? Did you click it as well?
I did.
Auto no better predictions.
Right. What's going on? I'll give you a rundown on what we got. So, Jay went 3-3 draw. Smarty went 8-0 Man City. Now, I think the thing about going 8-0 Man City is that's kind of where we all were. Jay was more hope than expectation with a 3-3. We all thought we were going to get absolutely pumped.
I hoped it with that one game in 100 that's just mental.
That's just weird. So the 8-0 with Man City, and that was before Big Sam was announced, and so we would have been going into that game with Gracia. Stats went 2-0 Man City. So Smarty and Stats get 1 point each, even though there's 6-goal swing in their predictions. The fans, Mark Jones, went 3-1 leads. Joe went 3-0 Man City, so he gets himself a point. Bren went a draw. I went 6-1 Man City. I get a point. Cal's a pussy. Luke went 5-2 Man City, so he gets 1 point. Si didn't predict. LUTV Scotty went 1-0 Man City, so he gets himself 3 points.
Wow.
Big Lou went 11-0 Man City. And Jason, can you have a guess on what you think Jason went?
4-0 Leeds.
4-4.
He went 2-2 draw. I thought he would have been like a Big Lou because he's been really pessimistic all season, and he went.
He's like a new man, isn't he? Have you seen his post on Twitter today saying that we're going to stay up by a goal difference and all that?
What's happened to him?
So much changed.
Which we'll come on to. I'm sure.
So just to run down the league table, then. Unfortunately, Jay remains top. I am in second place, but I am a full 6 points behind, so I need to get at least one of those remaining games right. Jason on 11, Carl on 11, Luke on 10, Stats on 9, Bren on 8, Joe on 4, Scotty will leapfrog him, actually. I've not moved it yet. Scotty goes above him on 5. So bear in mind, Scotty's only predicted about half of the season. He's above Joe in 7th once I change the table. And fans on 1, Smarty is on -1, even though he picked up a point. Size on -3, and Big Lou from LS11 is on -14.
Wow.
Nice.
Back to you, Luke.
Nice. Just a few comments then on the City game that we haven't touched upon. Kev doesn't think we'll know much about, after the weekend. Truth be told, City could have done a 7-1 and we were a bit lucky. We've almost spoken about that. It couldn't have been 7-1 because if it was going to be, it would have been. You look at the games last night where the finish was clinical. You know, the teams that take their chances win by that minute. I don't think we're giving Leeds enough respect, if I'm honest with you. I thought we played relatively well in terms of how we set up. Look, City were always going to get chances against us. They were always going to get chances. Absolutely. And we almost nullified the amount of chances they got, you know, and or made them more difficult, should we say. I'm not sure one. I put a post out earlier or yesterday or the day before saying how much I hate XG. Does anyone know what the XG was in that game?
No, I didn't look it up. I can't stand it.
Yeah, well, I can't, but I think it'd be interesting to know what it was in that one, just particularly because people are saying we should have lost by this many and that many. So their expected goals was 2.57. So, I mean, it doesn't scream 7.
That's
one,
not
6.
A lot.
5, 1. It's not. It's not a lot. It's not.
I mean, there were a couple of bits that, you know, I think it was in the first half, Haaland had a shot. Rasmus were fist pumping after it like he'd really done something. That just went past the post. Obviously, the pen, which I, you know, I've seen a lot of debate around. You know, I think when it you that put a poll up, Luke.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that's a pen. I don't think Pascal gets the ball, so I think that's a.
And you're a defender.
That challenge. It was running off the pitch. So if he'd have stood him up there, where's he going? I don't see him beating him if he just stands him up. So it was a bit of a daft challenge. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the way that we set up. If you hark back to the magical Bielsa days and the way that we set up once Cooper got sent off, all we did was low block, try and hit him on the counter, and basically it was a similar fashion. The thing that really surprised, I did mention on BNT, but the thing that really surprised me is that Forshaw receives our most mobile midfielder out of the lot that we had because he was the further forward. I just thought that was really strange.
Yeah, look,
you're right. We were always going to relinquish chances to them. They were always going to dominate possession. Even if we'd have tried to press them right into their defence, they'd have dominated possession.
Arguably, two of their more difficult chances fell to Gundogan, who's buried them from the edge of the box. You know, they were probably quite low on the XG, in comparison to obviously the penalty and everything else. And did you see Pep going for Gundogan when he missed that penalty? He's going, Erling! You take the penalties. You have to take. I'm not sure what he sounds like because he's Spanish.
He wasn't a happy chappy, was he? And then obviously, no. I mean, that kind of changed the complexion of the game because if they score that, then they're not running it to corners and trying to run down the clock, are they? They're just popping it around and being confident with it.
See, that's what almost gives me an additional bit, gives the players, I suppose, a little bit more additional respect for me because Man City wouldn't do that if they didn't think we had a goal in us. Do you know what I mean? Or we were dangerous in possession or we could have salvaged something from that game. There's no way that they hold the ball in the corner against. I don't think I've ever seen them do it, if I'm honest. I'd be surprised how many times they've done it before. Anyway, in terms of the actual performance then, I mean, it wasn't sexy. I think we had 19% possession, but it was to be expected. And I think the lads should be pretty proud of that result as well as working hard, I suppose, defensively for probably 80 of the 90 minutes. So, moving forward then, in terms of positives to take out of that, Jay, what were your main positives? Is there any particular players that shone for you in that small amount of possession we had, or even defensively, I suppose?
I don't know if anyone really shone massively, but Rodrigo obviously taking his chance was nice. He got us back in the game. I don't think Verber did anything particularly wrong that I can remember, although I don't remember all of it, in all fairness. Rasmus...
The only one I would say on that one is, and it is being a bit picky, is he lost his man for second goal. Not for second goal, for the Haaland chance that he headed straight at Rob Les. He lost his man for that, which, you know, you hope Haaland would do better if you're a Man City fan.
You would, it's Haaland, isn't it?
No, it didn't look in it. It didn't. That was, you know, I watched the extended highlights after the BNC thinking, is there anything there that I've missed? And you're right, I don't think anything major other than that.
I'm giving Rasmus a pat on the back just for not being an absolute disaster at centre-back because I expected the worst, I really did. When I saw him and Erling, and I was thinking, well, so he's put Erling at centre-back then. And that were bad enough in my head.
Well, I said, unless it's Rasmus, and I would take, in group, if you remember, I said, unless it's Rasmus, and yeah, I would take it.
Yeah, just,
actually, I think weren't
he just tried to do stuff that wasn't expected. But yeah, he did all right.
I mean, he's always going to get beaten over by the best centre forward in the world, you know. But yeah, in terms of playing out of position against the best football team in the world, sorry, club football team in the world, they stood up well, and it was, you know, it was a relatively weakened squad from our perspective. You look at the players that we could add to that squad, and look, I'm not beating around the bush here. We weren't good. We didn't have much possession. You know, they're players off the park, men against boys type stuff at times. But the in terms of positives, they have to take a fair. Look, you can tell a lot by an away crowd, and all you could hear on the telly was the away fans, and the fact the players
got clacked off at the end.
You were there, weren't you, Jay?
Yeah, it were amazing, the atmosphere. Everyone was fully behind them.
It was almost like chalk and cheese to the week before, wasn't it? When they were all, you know, not fit to wear the shirt and whatnot.
It was. Big Sam being in and just having the change there just renewed people's optimism. And
I think you're right.
A little bit, I guess.
I think
people
right.
just want somebody to get in there and get stuck in and make us fight. And you feel like, if anything, he's going to at least do that.
I don't think it's not the going down, is it? It's the way we go down and we go down fighting. Yeah. I think if we'd have carried on rolling over, we'll never know. But if Gracchi was in charge at the weekend, I think the score line could have quite easily been 7 or 8 or 9 or 10.
I think the same.
That's what people were predicting against, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we've just never said that you can change after we've done a pod. So we're a bit tight on this week. But that's what people were predicting against was a grassy Leeds.
I wonder if the players had a go at him about the lack of subs or making subs too late and not allowing people to get in and have a chance at changing the game. You know, there must have been frustration from them too.
I think Willie must have been nailing his daughter or something with the amount of game time he got. Do you know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
But yeah, look, and look, respect to Gracchi. I wish him well. He came in and did a bit of a job for us over the first few games, and he wished us well in his statement and everything. So look, it's not his fault. He was sixth choice. Do you know what I mean? He was sixth choice or something like that. So we can't. You're given an opportunity to prove yourself. You come in and try to do your best. I think Gracchi's biggest downfall was that he found a system that worked for him. He used to manipulate the team and change the team and set up different every week. He found one that worked and then never changed it from that. And unfortunately, it came unstuck. Very similar to obviously previous managers. But in terms of positives as well, Joel Robles.
Yeah, I was going to finish up with Robles. I thought he did a really good job. He were rock solid for me, for a guy that's not played for ages, coming in, second choice keeper. He just got in there. He looked like he'd been playing every week. He was commanding his area. He made some good
saves. Hang on a minute. Didn't you give him shit in the group and in the messages on the pod?
Can't remember. But yeah, he looked really good. So,
I can.
Yeah, he did.
I was probably annoyed, to be fair. Yeah, I did actually. You're right. I'd forgotten about that. Like I said before, I were a bit harsh about the goals. I was just frustrated at the time.
That second
goal, he probably wouldn't have seen much of that second one.
No, I mean, if you watch it back, if you remember the Roberto Carlos goal in Le Tournoir where it bends so far out that one at Ball Boys is trying to get out of way and he goes nowhere near him. It wasn't quite that extreme, but it bent about a yard wide of the post and then went in off the inside, off the bottom of the post, around two defenders. You're thinking, no keeper saves that. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not even then, it's still a bit hard.
I think every chance they got, though, I was like, Meslier lets that in. Well done, Robles. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
I absolutely don't agree with that at all. Andy's in the comments. Robles,
I don't know which way around it was, to be fair.
But that's what a keeper needs to do anyway.
Keeper should do that.
I mean, yeah, all right, the ball got dropped, and I think that's the bit that the roundabout, in it. It was kind of near edge at box, and ball got dropped. But then Robles recovered. But I want the keeper taking out defenders, attackers. Whoever's there, you go get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Robles. And the other thing, Weston McKennie, why did we only just find out about this fucking bullet throw that he's got?
It's crazy. Werber and him have got a throw that can get to far side at box, and we've seen three of them.
It's
in
total. Better than a direct free kick. It is better because you've more control over your throw.
Well, we don't get anything from a direct free kick.
Utilising these things that we've got.
But look, we've got to utilise that. And I think that's how astute Big Sam is. I think he's going to come in now and he's going to... I think, in fact, I could be wrong, but I think I was listening to somebody else's podcast. I forget who it was. And they said that, it might have even been Phil A, actually. He said that Big Sam's come in and he sat each individual player down and said, right, where do you think you should be playing? What can you bring to this team in this relegation? Right, what can you... Now, that's genius to me.
Yeah,
finding out, and it, but it's so simple, and but yet it could be so effective. You know, I've got a long throw. Well, why haven't we fucking used it for the last 3 months, yeah. 5 months since you've been here?
I reckon Big Sam's probably lined them all up and gone, give us your best throw. Right, okay, you're on throw.
I'll tell you what, Raf wouldn't be at front of that queue, would he?
No, he won't. Fucking hell.
But yeah, look, there was a few other bits and pieces as well to take out. Rod, when he came on, taking that chance, look, he gets a bit of luck, but he finishes it absolutely fantastic.
But he also made it himself, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
and he had two guys on him as well, and he got away and put that away under pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bamford can't score when he's fucking on his own, only person in half.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, look, all in all, City, look, somebody said earlier on that it wasn't a free hit and every game has to be attacked and all this, but look, that absolutely not. I think keeping the goal differences down in that game is a major positive.
100%. When you look at what Everton have now gone and done as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's City in a nutshell. So yeah, we've touched on results last night. We know where we stand in the league coming up to game week 36. Now, some interesting fixtures this next game week, isn't there? I'm just going to get them up. I won't be able to get them on the screen, but we will get them up. I'll be able to tell you. Because everybody's been jumping down my throat all day because I put a tweet out basically saying that the running. Forest have got Chelsea away, Arsenal at home and Palace away. Everton, City at home, Wolves away, Bournemouth at home. Leicester, Liverpool at home, Newcastle away, West Ham at home. Ourselves, Newcastle, West Ham and Spurs. Obviously, we know where. And then Southampton, who I think I probably won't even bother touching on because I think with that loss last night, they're pretty much down, in all honesty. Yeah. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I think 6 points to make up from a total of nine, they've got to win all three games. To stay up, pretty well, yeah. They've got to win all three by some as well. You know, they've got to score 12, 13 goals or something in those three games and hope that everybody else loses and that they lose heavily. So, yeah. Let's do a bit of a rundown then between us. How do we feel? Not Forest
going mental.
Not mine.
I can't even hear it.
Do you want to know what we predicted? When it was the 6th of March, what we predicted the outcomes to be.
I think we ended up on 39, didn't we?
We ended up on 36. So we had Palace on 43. We had Wolves on 39.
Just skip all them teams out.
We were on 14th in 36.
Yeah.
Leicester were in 15th on 35. Forest in 16th on 34. West Ham 17th on 33. Everton went down on 29, Bournemouth on 27, and Southampton 26.
Well, we fucked that really, didn't we?
The only one we've got right is Southampton.
Yeah. And Bournemouth have absolutely pissed it. Yeah. HMS pissed the league.
I think Everton are going to be safe, you know.
I think Everton is pretty much safe now.
I think it's just fly through Leicester and Forest.
Let's just fly through. Shut up, Jay. Stop being so pessimistic and go.
I'm telling you, I'm giving you facts.
Right, Forest then. So they're currently on 33 points. How many points do they get from Chelsea away, Arsenal at home, and Palace away? Realistically, I'm going to give them one.
They beat Chelsea.
Do they? Away. They've only beaten Blackburn.
Yeah, no, but they haven't played Frank Lampard's Chelsea away.
No, fair. I think they get one, and that's been kind, and that's Palace away on the last day.
I mean, that's an absolute dead rubber for Palace. their job's over and done by then, isn't it? So it could go either way. It could be pressure's off and they run riot, or actually this opposition that we're up against are up for a fight and we're not. That could go either way at last game at season. But it's the challenge I look at.
I'm going to give them one point. One more point, which finishes them on 34.
I think there's 3 points in those games for them.
So you think they get one win?
I do, yeah.
Or draw all three? Who do they beat? Chelsea away or Palace away or Arsenal at home?
Either Chelsea or Palace. I don't think they beat
Right, then
Arsenal.
We'll average it. We'll give them 2 points. They finish on 35 points, yeah?
Go on, then.
Just jot this down, Gilly, before I forget.
I'm so worried. I'm so worried.
Forest finish on 35.
Everton are on 32. They've got City at home, 0 points. We all agreed on that?
Yeah.
Wolves away. I tell you one thing, that Everton result depends on what happens with City tonight because they're losing to Real.
Yeah, they are.
They've
absolutely battered Brighton. And nobody saw that coming either. So it puts a question mark in your mind, especially if Man City lose to Real.
They didn't absolutely batter Brighton. The scoreline did. But
the scoreline shows that they did, yeah.
Yeah. Wolves away. I'll give them a point for that, I think.
They could win that.
They could. But Wolves' home form has been really good since Lopetegui came in. If you look back, they've had...
Is it only us that's beaten them at that? Oh, no, one other side.
Yeah. I'm going to give them one for that. And I'm going to give them... What do you reckon, Bournemouth at their place at Everton last game of the season? Do you reckon they'll win that?
Bournemouth could, you know, they're on 39 points now. They could just be coasting by then.
I think
I'm going to give them 2 points. I'm going to give them 2 points as well, which finishes Everton on 34.
Yeah.
Leicester. Liverpool at home, 0 points.
Yeah, Liverpool are flying a minute. Yeah. And they're still Newcastle. Pushing. I mean, I know it's an outside chance because... I think if they played a game more than Scum and they're a point behind them, but there's still a chance that they'll get in Champions League, and that's such a big deal for those sides. So they're going to keep pushing.
Newcastle away, 0 points.
Yeah, don't see out there.
Yeah, don't see
West Ham. West Ham at home, I'm going to give them a point. I don't think they beat West Ham at home. West Ham will be looking, don't forget, potentially they might be playing in a Europa final as well.
I think a point there.
Point there. So we got Leicester finish on 31.
It won. Right.
31. Leeds, Newcastle at home. Do we expect anything Saturday?
Fuck all.
Nope.
You don't think we'll even get a draw? Even though we got a draw at their place?
Ed says defeat. Hart says draw.
Yeah, I'm similar.
We'll go for a point.
I don't West see it, away. But I don't want to admit it.
I'd like to think Big Sam going back to West Ham, all the shit their fans gave him, I'd like to think that he can get that right. And
It's written in the stars. Sam Allardyce against Newcastle and West Ham, two of his ex-clubs. We've got to fucking go there and give it some.
I can't see... I mean, Newcastle are flying. They're playing well. And if you look at what Isak's doing at the minute, and Wilson's finishing all of them chances, that's going to be a real tough ask to get anything more than a point. I can't see us getting more than a point there. But he will be up for that as well, will Big Sam, because of
West Ham.
He's got there. But West Ham, I think, I'd like to think he gets us to a position
just after
where,
their second leg, by the way.
And 3 days at that after. Point, he's had just over 2 weeks run at it.
And now, that's not a long time.
And presumably by that point they will be remaining clear of whatever's going on. So yeah, I'd like to think that we can get 3 points there. I think it'll be hard. I think it'll be tough. I think it'll be close. But I think we get.
Would you be happy to say we get one win out of those three games, wherever it comes from? Spurs, West Ham away. I don't think Newcastle, and then another point elsewhere. Would you say we pick up 4 points?
If you gave me 4 points now, even though there's an option of 9, I'd snap your hand off.
Do you think that's out of this world crazy, though, to say 4 points?
No, I think that's probably about right.
Not after the way that he got them fighting against Man City.
Considering we drew in Newcastle away from home, we should have beaten West Ham at home comfortably and drew 2-2. And Spurs away, we probably should have beaten them as well earlier in the season.
Playing against Spurs, it's a lot like I've just said against Chelsea, although they're more Spursy, but they're not managed by Frank Lampard. He's you don't know which one's going to turn up.
The Jekyll and Hyde out there. You could get absolutely played off the park by them, or they could be absolute shite.
But the one thing that you do say is Harry Kane tears us to bits every time he plays us.
Yeah, yeah, fair. But on the last day of the season going in, and we need a result, I fancy to get them a minute around 4 points for the rest of the season. I thought you were going to say five.
I thought you were saying unbeaten for the rest of the season.
No. I'm going to go with three. So four. Let's that puts us on 34. Is that where does that put us?
Smarty's having a.
Fuck Smarty, he's meant to be on here.
Well, Forest on 35, Everton on 34, we're on 34, and Leicester on 31 at the minute. Southampton is down, aren't they?
So that's that would put Forest on 34, did we say, yeah? That's three teams on 34.
Forest on 35, Everton 34, Leeds 34, Leicester 31.
I don't see where Forest get 2 points from out of them three games.
Well, they could win a game.
That's what you
They've
said
got to him.
I said one, you two said three.
You that's averaged it out to two, that's why we got two.
Yeah. I still don't see how they get 2 points from those three games.
So what we're talking there is that...
We still go down. Our goal difference between us and Everton.
It's decided on goal difference.
Yeah. I think we will stay up on goal difference, you know, between us and Forest.
Smart as having a go.
Us and Forest? Because Everton have done a world of good with their goal difference against Brighton, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we were about evens with them, I think, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah. It depends how we win as well. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'd be surprised if Forest get a point. I'm with you, Alison. I don't see Forest getting another point. I think Forest
I hope
Leicester
that's
drop.
The case. I hope that's the case.
But we've all said that it's not unrealistic for us to pick up 4 points in them three games. And if we pick up 4 points, I think we're safe.
Hopefully. I'm in complete panic mode now. I just feel
imagine we beat Newcastle Saturday. Imagine.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, if we beat Newcastle, I'll be up there.
I'm not in panic mode because all my hope has gone, so I'm quite zen about it.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna come on to that. I was gonna say I've already made my peace with relegation. The worst case scenario is that we get relegated, and we have a bit of a clear out, and we have a new go at it, and we've got to actually win some games next season. And you know, it's nobody wants to be relegated. The pinnacle of football English football is to be a team, a support of a club in the Premier League. Now the Premier League's wank, VAR's wank, the clubs that we play against are wank. The 3,000 allocation is shite. You can't get, you know, it's crap, but that's where everybody wants to be. They want to chase the money, and everybody wants to be there. So we don't want to be relegated. Look, I'm not saying it's a good idea or even nice to feel like we're going to be potentially relegated, and we're still odds on favourites to get relegated, clearly because of the points and everything. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what's come over me. I was so like,
was it Carl on OnlyFans?
Certainly wasn't me, mate.
I don't know if you actually caught all of that, Luke, but there was I think baying is probably a fair description of the way that people were asking for an OnlyFans collaboration between yourself and Carl.
Yeah.
What, last week?
Yeah.
I was on last week.
All over the comments. Huh?
I was on
when it were Gilly and Carl on
BNC. BNC. Oh, BNC. All right. No, I to be honest, when I'm watching it back, I don't read the comments. I just listen to it because I'm
using. I did pop some of them up because I was losing my shit over trying to handle all the comments.
So look, it's still very much a lot to play for, and I still imagine there's probably a lot of twists and turns and everything else before the end of the season. Look, Big Sam's been promised £2.5 million if he stays up. If he can't work miracles with £2.5 million, then sum it up. I could do magic with £2.5 million. Make it
rumor
disappear.
Has it. Rads has even said he'll give him it in cash in a brown envelope. Just likes it.
He doesn't mind though, because he's already had £500,000 on us to go down as Big Sam. So look, it's going to be tough. Look, there's no two ways about it. But how do we feel about the prospect or likelihood of being relegated and being a championship team next year, Jay?
I can't stomach the idea. I just can't. I don't want to.
Does that mean you won't be going then?
No, does it? Fuck, it means I'll just have to suffer, doesn't it? And I won't be happy about it, but I'll be there.
Won't we be able to tell the difference? You're not going to be happy?
Mate, I'm always happy when things are going well. Just can't stomach it when it's
we just can't
on.
Tell.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm terrified. I don't want to go down. I don't want to lose Nonto. I don't want to see the club torn apart. And
can be arranged for a price. can be arranged for a price, Jammy.
Fucking hell, fine. I don't want to see the club torn apart. I don't want to see our best players leave, even though there's only a few that are worth keeping, but still.
Right, I've thought about this, Jay. I've thought about this. Who leaves at the end of the season regardless? Nonto, probably?
Regardless?
Regardless of go down. I think Willie Nonto goes.
I don't see him going.
You don't?
What at all?
If we stay up, no.
Oh, if we get relegated, he goes. But if we stay,
oh
up,
yeah, absolutely.
Is
yeah.
that what you're saying? Ah, right. See, I think Willie Nonto will be snapped up anyway. I think Somerville probably will as well, and I also think Tyler Adams will go. Regardless.
I don't see why we'd sell those players if we stay up. They're some of the only ones worth keeping. Because we're going to need a big squad refresh, and you can't get rid of everybody.
That's three. Sorry, I'm halfway through you.
Oh, is that what I'm on?
Look, I don't know. It's with you, Jay. It's tough, man. It's tough. I still think we're going to lose the better players anyway. That's what happens to the teams at the bottom, the lower end of the league. Whether they stay up, they get snapped up by better teams.
Yeah, but it's how that differs. That's the biggest.
Yeah, but it won't matter much if we're in the championship because we'll be.
But what I mean is, if Nonto goes from a Premier League team to a Champions League team, he goes for 40, 45, 50. Name your price, pretty much. Because his ceiling's that high in terms of potential that the big sides are going to pay the big money. But if you're relegated and you're selling him and they know that they're in the position, so there might be a bidding war, but that bidding war will half that at best. Yeah.
So I read something today, and I don't know how true it is, that the players are all having the contracts due to relegation. They have to take a 50% or 60% pay cut. Is that something?
Okay,
that's quite normal.
I think it's quite normal. But that would surely prompt some of the players that obviously think they're better than that to hand in transfer requests, and we'd have to obviously look at trying cashing in on a handful of those. So. The way I've made my peace with potential relegation is, I think we'll still keep the majority of the squad. There's players I don't want to keep anyway, but I still think we would keep. I think Warbird stays. He's only been here 6 months. I don't see him going anywhere. I almost think he'd stay. I think the only three or four we might lose are, or even five potentially, are Sinisterra, Somerville, Nonto, Adams, and maybe Rodrigo, because he's on a very, very high salary and he'll probably want to keep it that high because he's coming to the end of his career.
He could probably go to a Spanish Premier League aside.
I agree. In terms of Rodrigo, he's only got 1 year left on his contract. The Adams one's interesting, isn't it? Because there were all those rumours about, it's a loan till the end of the season with an obligation to buy. Or is that obligation to buy, in effect, on relegation, or is that another? And these are the questions that we don't know the answer to.
Imagine if that comes out that we never really signed him. Fuck me, Rads's car will get set on fire.
They're not views of the pod, they're just Jay.
No, Jay, you didn't just say that second bit.
Oh, I said probably. leaves a lot of room for ambiguity.
I think, just to go back with what you said at the start of that question and that piece, Luke, is the championship, the reason that it exists is to be second fiddle to the Premier League. That's it. There is no other thing about the championship. It is the level to get to if you're in League One, and it's the level to get out of if you're in it to get into the Premier League. That's the only reason it's there. I think we've talked about the finances and the financial aspect of the gap widening between the Premier League and the Football League, and that's only ever getting worse and worse. So it's an awful time to think of dropping out of it. The other things are the other unknowns around the ownership. We know that Rads is currently majority shareholder. That might change, it might not. They talked about a deal with the 49ers in 2024. We don't know. They talked about the potential of bringing that forward, but we've got no idea. Orta's gone. There's going to be a new director of football needed, we think, dependent on the manager incoming that that we're going to have, whether that's Sam, whether that's somebody else. We don't know. There's so many unknowns. It's really difficult. And how do you, as a club, secure the futures of the players that you want to keep?
Yeah.
Not knowing who your manager is, not knowing whether there's going to be a director of football, not knowing who the club is owned by. It's so important that that's done quickly and transparently, at least to the playing staff and the potential playing staff. You know, we all want to know the inner workings and machinations and exactly what's going on and all the deals and stuff, but we don't get that inside knowledge.
No.
But it's really important to get that business done as early as it can be so that any manager that's going to be carrying us forward next season, whatever league we're in, has an actual opportunity to do something and go sign the players they want.
That's the thing.
I've seen some interesting...
Go on, Jay, sorry, mate.
That's
the thing. It's like, whatever division we're in, there's going to be a lot of work to do. So we need people in place early, quickly, and able to get settled in and get on with the job because there's so much to do. And another thing I've been wondering about with the ownership thing is, and this got mentioned somewhere else, and I can't remember where I heard it, but Rad stands to lose a lot if he sells a championship club. What are the chances that Rad has a, you know, sort of a PR man, as he thinks he is, has sort of thrown Otter under the bus now, thinking, right, I'm going to stay on. I'm going to try and bring this club back and sell it for full price. I'll get rid of Victor. All the fans are on him.
The thing is, the deal's got to be done by the end of 2024, the end of this year.
Right? Yeah, but like Matt says, we don't know the ins and outs, and it might be null and void if we're relegated.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And well, yeah, but the other side to things is, he might not choose to stay on as majority shareholder, but he might only sell, 10% of the shares, which makes somebody else a majority shareholder, but keeps his interest so that if they then get promotion, then he's benefiting off the back of that. Well, there's all sorts of ways it could be played.
Well, he'd only be non-majority if he sold it to the 49ers group.
That's what I mean. If he chose to sell some of his... So I know there talks about bringing the 2024 deal forward to summer 23. I think a lot of that was predicated on being in the Premier League, although Graham, not so long since, YEP Graham, said that their interest wouldn't be cooled, but they'd have to look at the deal because it wouldn't be worth as much, which you know, that's fairly obvious.
That's just
but what he might do is just sell enough of a percentage to the 49ers to give them the majority shareholding and return the rest.
But then we've still got the joint ownership shit.
Yeah.
We're the same fucking... street, like it's just, it's
and that's not, exactly it's... what's caused Leicester all of these issues is half of the family wanting to get into horse racing, half of it wanting to stay in football, and there's just the board infighting. You know, if that's been borne out with the likes of Parag and Peter Lowy and Rad's then battling against them and Kinnear as well. If that's what that, you know, all ways round, if that's just that they've not been unified in what they're trying to do, of course that's going to bear out in exactly what the outcomes are. So for me, one of the most critical things, you know, the playing staff obviously is important for a football team because you can't be successful without a decent playing staff. But for me, one of the most crucial things is getting that business done as early as possible.
Absolutely.
Sort the board out and get all of that headache sorted.
I've seen some really interesting... some really interesting conspiracy theories on Twitter this week by somebody, I'm not going to name him, but somebody who is or used to be relatively close to the club. I won't name him. I'll tell you when we finish. But basically that, something along the lines of the 49ers were instrumental in bringing the leaders in to drive down the price of the club, because if we were relegated, I've seen. Now, that doesn't make sense to me, because then they've got to... the reason it doesn't make sense is because they'd have to invest more money, regardless of how much they paid it for, to get us back to be worth anything like we are now. You know, we're clearly investable. We're obviously, you know, we've got great turnover, great figures and everything. So it just didn't wash with me. I mean, loads of different things will probably come out in the wash in terms of how and what's gone on in behind the scenes with regards to takeovers and everything else when it's happened. And we've already seen Rad's release statements around, you know, Victor Orta and whose fault this was and whose fault that was. Now, is that him clinging to an olive branch saying, if we go down, I'm having another pop at this because I'll be doubling my money back? Do you know what I mean?
I think there's a chance.
I think there is. Alison's just said here, Parag's cancelled his trip twice, been told he's arriving this week, staying a month. So a takeover had happened as planned after Scum wouldn't had all this indecision. So, well, I'm guessing the fact that we're shit.
Maybe they finally had a tour around stadium and said, fuck this.
What the fuck are we buying?
I'm going to need to spend a fortune renovating this. kicking tyres and that, walking around.
Yeah. Shutting doors and bits of plaster falling off at the ceiling.
Yeah. My knee creaking in background. The door. it's a tough one, isn't it? Like, and we just want what's best for the club. They want what's best for their pocket. Ultimately, they don't care about Leeds United. They do not. They don't care. They care about what's going to be in their pocket at the end of
their deal. Exactly. What does that tell you?
And that goes for Rads as well. That's not just this investment group. Absolutely. This investment group could arguably be worse than what we've got under Rads, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, that's why I think it needs real clarity at the board level of the club or the company that owns the club. You can have a million investors all funding things in different ways and doing whatever else. If you've got one leader or you've got a small select group with one person in charge and then others acting as advisors, as a board should be, with non-execs, you know, providing experience or whatever else, then fine. What we don't want is 18 people all thinking they've got an equal voice in a boardroom, because you don't make decisions like that.
No.
Yeah, and the other thing for me is you are right. Sorry, Pat Lowry is a Leeds fan, but that's one of, I think there's maybe Lowy. Seven in that. Yeah, Lowy. Sorry, no, yeah, he's Lowy.
Yeah.
There's six or seven in that investment arm, I think.
There's a lot more than that, but I think they're all front men for a lot of things that happen behind them. So a lot of the money is kind of pooled resource.
I mean, from what I understand, Lowy could probably buy us on his own. He's like a multi-billionaire.
He's Westfield Group, so
not notice he'd bought us.
Yeah, he's you know, on his own. I think last time I looked, which was months ago, I think he were about 4.5 billion. But Westfield Group were about 17 billion. There's genuine, absolute filthy rich people that are involved in the club. But obviously, they've got umpteen other projects ongoing as well.
Yeah.
As Alison said here, yes, he is. And it's going to be him and Parag as the main men. Now, that worries me immediately, because that's two people. That only takes one disagreement between the two and something. And you've got no decision. Look, it's and it, look, we're speculating here. We're speaking based on a bit of fantasy and everything else and worst case scenarios. I think just to go back to where the conversation started, believe it or not, was around how we feel in terms of have we made us peace with relegation? Have you made it, Gilly? I think you have, haven't you?
Yeah, I think. Made my peace with it, as in I've come to terms with it. I think that was about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, you know, I can't see a way back from this. Now, that was before Big Sam, but although I like the way that he's taking the pressure off the players and put it all on himself, and I like the humour that he's brought to a lot of it, you know, even for us, do you know what? If we go down swinging, that's pretty much as I can hope for now, is that we actually make a fist of it. It's a shame it didn't happen earlier, because I think that's what these players needed, was somebody to take a lot of the flack and shoulder some of the responsibility, which I didn't really see. Making a peace with it almost thinks, you know, it's already done, I'll be happy with it. Now, I thought it were already done, certainly won't be happy with it by any stretch, but I'd come to terms with it. Palace and Liverpool results, I think were the bit for me, and then what happened at Bournemouth was just, that was, you know, that was the final nail for me. But I had already decided that you know, I can't see us coming back from this before the Bournemouth result.
Yeah, and that, I think that was when I put the bet on us to go down and try and make some beer tokens, wasn't it, after that performance. So, yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? Like, it's bullet. Everything is available for the right price.
And it means everything.
Everything.
We'll send you his number, bullet.
But it is green.
Jay, where are you? I mean, Jay, you went to City. You were texting while you were in the ground like some sort of lunatic, and saying how much you hate the players. You, in fact, you texted last night saying how much you hate the players and the club after we hadn't even played. So where are you? Where are you right now?
I'm absolutely fucking furious.
You sound it.
I'm all over the place. My emotions are all over. I veer from...
What about the football?
Well, I'm getting to that. I veer from hope to, this is fucked. These lot have fucked it. They're all fucking knobheads. But then when I think about it after the City game and stuff, you know, like I said before, there were effort there. They tried. They nearly got back into that game. They had City worried. And if they can continue like that, then maybe, just maybe, something can happen. So I've not accepted it as a given yet, but I am very pessimistic on our chances as it stands. I'm just, this next game against Newcastle will tell us a lot.
It will, and we're going to come on to that in a second or two. But I mean, everyone knows me as the eternal happy clapper of Planet LUFC. And I've made my peace with going down. I think we still will potentially go down. The scenarios that I've done and the questions that I've asked are obviously best case scenario. And I think we've got it in us. I think we've, you know, we look at the reverse fixtures against the three teams that we've played. We drew with Newcastle away from home. We should have beaten West Ham, and we should have beaten Spurs away from home. In fairness, that was an awful game in terms of the results. So
yeah.
So that's why I'm still 4-3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
4-3, I think. And yeah, it was. Yeah, it's one of them, and it's an emotional rollercoaster that is LUFC, and that we're all on every week. So I'll be happy. I will actually be happy when the season's over for once. I'm fed up with this season, and I just want to sort of know what's going on next season, really.
Yeah, that's it. It's the not knowing that's the worst part.
There's going to be plenty more bumps in the road.
Break, by the way.
Sorry.
Fuck mid-season breaks, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that's fucked us up. That fucked us up a lot. It didn't help. I mean, it didn't help many clubs, but I think we took a real brunt of that, didn't we, with Wobber and Adams both getting injured at the same time. And
well, yeah, and you know, we actually had two breaks, if you think, because when the Queen shuffled off her mortal coil, we lost two games, and it was against the Scum in the period when they were really shit, and Forest in the period when they couldn't get a point anywhere.
Yeah.
And we had to play them actually when they turned their seasons around.
Bastard. Yeah, Liam's asked a really good question here actually about us and this season. I think this might.
I was just looking at that.
This might have some substance to it. Do you think our players weren't given 100% because they weren't happy with the coaching setup and the board? Now, we've all played a level of sport under whatever. Whoever, and we've all got people we've enjoyed working with and playing with and watching and been coached by and everything else. It almost could have some substance to it. Obviously, the American lads were very favoured by Jesse Marsh, very. You know, he played Aronson regardless, pretty much. It was tragic toward the end, but Yeah, it's then you have Javi Gracia who came in, and he had a style that he played when he worked it out and felt was going to work and keep us safe, and didn't change from that. So I think somebody like Sam Allardyce, and I can't believe I'm saying these words out of my mouth, but it might be something that Leeds United needed at this stage of the season.
I mean, I think some had to change, and they want much in the way of other options.
Oh, but I suppose that Jay, would you
a better option?
I think I don't think
at this point in the season, the only person that you can turn to at this time is him. That's it. There's no other option. He's far and away the best option the Premier League's seen in 10 years in this situation.
Yeah,
has he only ever taken West Ham down? I think and brought him straight West back Brom. Up.
No, West Brom.
West Brom, sorry, West Brom down. But he brought West Ham up, didn't he?
Yeah, he brought him up in the Championship.
Yeah, and then he took him to eighth. Everton were, I think, 18th, and he took them to eighth. West Brom
and the fans moaned about him when they sacked him.
West Ham had a very, very poor squad.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are right. West Ham, they felt that they deserved better and they wanted to see better football. But actually, they weren't playing bad football at all. I think a lot of that was just the perception of him as an individual. And I think I'll hold my hands up. I've fallen foul of this because you go back and watch some of them West Ham games and they weren't bad at all. But
no.
I've spoken of him in the same breath as Dyche and Pulis and others, and I've probably been up there with him in the past.
Yeah,
I think we probably all have.
Here's a question for you then. Hypothetically, because we're not going down, or maybe we are, we go down. Do we keep Sam Allardyce for a season, see if he can get us back up?
He wouldn't be the worst option in the world. It wouldn't be pretty, but if he gets me promotion, I'm all for it.
I tend to agree. And I think we've been spoiled with Bielsa in the Championship and seeing how sexy football can be. But ultimately, it's a results game. We're going to cheer whenever Leeds score, regardless how the ball goes in the net.
I think
regardless how it gets in the net.
Depending on sort of how much he's got left in the tank.
Plenty in the tank, worst, sir.
Well,
in the tank?
Yeah.
As in how much...
How many years is he going to carry on for?
Yeah, but I don't see him lacking in anything. In actual fact, he looks better now than he has done for about 10 years.
Yeah, it's because he's had some time off and away from stress.
Not for a big Sam, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'll see what he looks like in 4 games' time, eh?
Yeah. Wife's had him gardening and stuff, haven't you? It's just, I think if he's willing to go on for a couple of years, it might not be a bad shout, purely on the basis that he got West Ham up, so he knows how to do it. And if we got promoted with him, we'd probably put up a much stronger fight for staying up the following season. We'd be more solid. We wouldn't be a team that gets smashed every week by five or six goals.
It'd be a good manager to set a foundation, a platform with and you'd know what
for someone else to build on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the ideal football that we want to see played. You know, we want to see some sexy football at Elland Road again. We want to see enjoy it again. And I'm not saying we won't enjoy it. We'll get a better idea over these next 3 games as to what Sam's plan is in terms of the next few games. So Bullim asked a question here, and look, I don't like going back in the past and stuff, but it's a question that has to be asked. Do we think Bielsa would ever return? I don't. Even if we had new managers, I just don't see it. Unfortunately,
there is a rumor, and you don't know which rumors you can set store by and which you can't, do you? But there is a rumor that he was dragging his heels over the Uruguay position on the off chance that maybe he would come back to Leeds. But I don't ever see him working with anybody that's been on the board. I really don't. And I know that, you know, we'd seen him have ding-dong battles with Orta. Now Orta's gone, but it were Rads that sacked him. And if you'd listened to, you know, that I think it might have been the same interview when he said, it might have been a different one, but I think it was the same one. When he said, it's impossible that we will be in the same situation again. I don't want any more heart attack football or whatever else he said about it being impossible to be in a relegation battle this season, is I think when he spoke about the way that he let Bielsa go, and you were talking about how it was a surprise to Bielsa because they'd had good chats up to that point and he just didn't expect it. And it's like, well, surely as somebody that's managing not just elite sports and whatever else, but any line manager managing any individual, if you're in a position where your performance managing an individual and they're not meeting the grade, you build up to letting them go. You don't go, it's brilliant, it's brilliant, it's brilliant, it's brilliant, you're sacked.
Yeah, you don't do that.
The type of person that we all want, believe that Bielsa actually is, and I know that a lot of us have put him on, me included, have put him on a pedestal that, that maybe is unrealistic, but he genuinely is such a an amazing human.
Yeah,
he will have felt so betrayed by that, in my view.
Will he have felt betrayed by the football club, or would he have felt betrayed by the board?
I think by Rad himself. He was the one sat in front of him that had not built him up to that, and Rad said it was a surprise. It will have been heartbroken. So I don't see a way back from that. And that's for me, that it speaks volumes that he won't answer. It must have been a different one because it was a follow-up, wasn't it, when Rad Radani said he won't answer the phone to talk to him about the training facility after him. And if he won't answer the phone for that, he's not going to answer the phone for the job.
Should have sent him a grenade in post.
I think that's probably would be seen as more of a threat than an enticement. But you know, horses for
course.
He won't come back. He's too much of
a shame. It's a shame. He's too proud. He's too proud.
Human being.
It's a massive
And when you cross him like that and stab him in back, he ain't going to forgive that.
To be fair, though, the question, I think. The question I think was if 49ers take over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, if there's no Rads or Arter or Angus, maybe that could be different. But, you know, he fell in love with the city. He spoke of that a lot, and he knows how much the fans loved him and the players. There's still some players there that he worked with that he loved, and they loved him. So, there's a long shot if there was a board. A wholesale ball change. I can't see it happening otherwise.
Picture this. We stay up this season. We stay up on the last day of beating Spurs. We beat Spurs on the last day of the season. Big Sam announces his retirement. Rads announces we've sold to the 49ers. They unveil fucking Bielsa on the pitch for next season. And he says, no man management, no man market either.
So the best thing would be... If they said that they had a statue for him and we're all, finally, that's exactly what you should have been
actually
doing.
Actually him.
But then they take the thing off and it's actually him rather than the
unzip
statue.
Unzip him. Like a Scooby-Doo buddy.
Pull the cover off like that, those pesky kids.
They should bring him out up back of like a little golf cart or something. We're living in America by James Brown playing like Rocky IV when Apollo Creed comes out in American shorts, you know, and he's in there. Why? He's also bopping around because 49ers have took over. There's ticker tape falling from the rafters.
Red, white, and blue ticker tape.
The music. USA, USA. Some planes go over.
Yeah,
we could do it all.
Hey, we can all dream, can't we? We can all dream. Anyway, we better start talking a little bit. We better start talking a little bit about our next opponents. We've been rambling on now for just over an hour. I'm sure people do want to go to bed on Tuesday night at some stage. So, Saturday then, we've obviously said briefly about what we expect at Newcastle. But do you think Big Sam's going to have to go for it based on last night's results then, Jay? Or do you think he's going to play a similar, maybe less negative style than he played at City, but still go for it a little bit more? Or what is he going to go all out?
I'm not sure if he's got it in him to go all out.
I think he has.
He's going to be worried about being caught by Newcastle on the break. So he's going to try and account for that. But I think there will be more probing going forward from us than there was at City, because City just, you know, you go there to just try and soak it up and do what you can if you get an opportunity, don't you? But Newcastle, it's more a game where you're well aware of the threat, but you're looking for an outlet. You're looking for an opportunity to break away and cause them some problems and try and push them back a little if you can, because that's how you're going to stop them putting the pressure on you. And if you sit back and let them, they're just going to pound you. And Trippier is going to keep banging fucking balls in the onto people's heads all day long.
Yeah. Do smash a like for us, Jamie. Thank you ever so much. It's going to be a real test, isn't it? Look, when we played them New Year's Eve, Jesse Marsh set up completely different to how we'd ever set up before. We set up for a point.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I said that at the time.
and we, you know, we were very, very defensive, very deep, and they had the chances, did Newcastle, to win that game. But we managed to come away with a point. Now, Newcastle have improved since then. They've got better. We haven't. We've got worse. So it is, but it's home soil and it's the crowd. And if anything, if the City game was anything to go by in terms of a barometer of how the crowd's going to be this coming weekend, you know, you just never know. If we can get behind them and we don't go behind to an early silly goal or anything could happen in this game. Anything could happen. How do you see us lining up, Gilly? Do you think it's still going to be 4-2-3-1?
I mean, at this point, who knows? The Man City game, such an outlier, and we had to be in a position where we didn't get absolutely battered, and I think that's what we went out to do, is let's not get battered and let's see where we are 60, 65 minutes in the game and see if we change it and see if we can pop something towards the end of the game if we're still in it. This one, I think that we need to carry some more impetus and carry some more threat in the game. So it might still be a 4-2-3-1. Personally, I'd like to see Forshaw drop further back and be one of the two. And let's get somebody that can be a bit more expressive further forward. I rate Forshaw. I've not made a secret of that. The fact that he's made of biscuits has held him back. But when we can get him on the pitch, I rate him and I have. I always have. But he's not a dynamic 8, 10, going to create you loads of chances sort of player. He's just not that. So I would like to see, I mean, personally for me, I think if you can get Rodrigo and Bamford on the pitch at the same time, then you've got a chance of doing something, because we've talked about the way that Rodrigo's taking his chances, but we've talked about the way that Bamford can occupy defenders in the way that Rodrigo doesn't. I think... if we can find a way that is a system that suits us, that gets them both on the pitch at the same time, it gives us that bit more threat. I think if we look at the fullbacks, they didn't do anything in terms of getting forward. I think Ayling went on one long run, but kind of rang himself down the cul-de-sac and then just played it back behind him and then went back into his position, because nobody expected him, the way that I was looking at the game, nobody expected him to get that far forward, because that just wasn't the task on offer on the day, was it? So I think there'll be more emphasis on carrying a threat, and I think some of that needs to come from the fullbacks, but I would like to see something a bit more in the middle.
What about obviously set pieces is something that Sam Allardyce has been famed for. He scores a lot of goals from set pieces. They'll be working on those. Obviously being a team in the lower half of the Championship, you have to take advantage of your set pieces. Mark Rocker made an absolute howler of his set pieces at the weekend. What would we think to Greenwood coming in for him?
Yeah, from a set piece perspective, very good. But from a will he do any better a job for the rest of the game? I'm not sure. Could he do any worse? Maybe it's a better question. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it wouldn't be the worst option in the world. However, you lose a lot of Mark Rocker's experience playing at a good level. You know, and then trusting a kid effectively, I think for me it would be too much to ask of Greenwood. I think maybe too much too soon. Whilst he's our best set piece taker, and every corner he takes is a good corner, every free kick he takes is a good free kick. You know, could we sacrifice Mark Rocker's experience and what he brings to us for that additional set piece prowess? What do you think, Gilly?
It doesn't really answer the question asked, but if I'm going to make a change in the middle and bring in one of the younger players, it's going to be JB that I'm going to bring in, not Greenwood. Now, what that does to our actual set pieces is a different matter, because then I've kind of ruined that.
Have to let Harrison take him again.
In short, I don't know. I mean, if it's a shot on goal, I want Verber to be having a go. In terms of the free kicks and corners, I don't know what's gone on with Rocker, because early in the season I was clamouring for him to be on the corners, because we had this from Harrison and from Aronson, and it were pissing me off.
Oh yeah.
And Rocker took one. It was flat. It was pacey. it had venom on it. It was curling in, and I'm thinking, why aren't you taking them all? That's brilliant. That's exactly what you beat the first man and it got into a dangerous area. And you're thinking, yeah, that's exactly what we want. Get him on him. And then, you know, actually, when you come to it, he's not been great either. I think, were it against the scum when he took four in a row and beat the first man and went out for a corner every time?
It
shouldn't be that difficult. It really shouldn't be that difficult.
No. Not for a professional footballer. That reminded me, actually, before we go tonight, I just want to repeat something about Izzy Brown, but I'll come back to it in a bit. Sam Greenwood will be up for the fight as he's a Macam, and believe you me, will be up for the fight. That's a good, interesting point. They hate the Geordie.
Andy's a shithouse.
Andy's a bit of a shithouse, likes to get stuck in. I don't think it would be I think it'd be a bold move to start him over Rocker, but I think if anybody would make that, and so, don't forget.
There's a point, though.
Yeah. Maybe. if anybody would make that and is brave enough to make that and drop somebody, Sam Allardyce doesn't give a fuck what the players think about absolutely. Him. He's not that type of manager. He doesn't care. No. He's strictly there for a result. He does not care how he gets it.
And so, if you've got one player saying different, but you've got in the back of your head, you're not taking £2.5 million out of my pocket. You'll do what you're fucking told or you'll get out of bastard way.
The players have been offered incentives as well. So if it is about money, because look, we've spoken about it before already, 50 to 60% pay cut. If they don't want to be here next season on a 50 to 60% pay cut, then stay on the current wage, probably with an increased salary for staying up. Plus, sorry, Jamie, keeping you awake, mate.
No, I'm got sore, tired eyes, mate. I'm struggling this week. Proper, like, achy eyeballs.
Now you know how we feel. So look, their incentive is there to stay up. If it's cash they're after, if it's, you know, recognition, if they want to become part of Leeds United's history, then it's all there to be over the next three games. I don't think it changes that much for Newcastle. I don't think we set up all that differently. I think we're slightly don't play as deep, but I think we still look to get them on the counter. I don't think we'll go for it all out like under potentially Jesse or Bielsa would have done. But I also think we've got more of a chance of you know, you look at the two fixtures. Newcastle at home, City away. We lost that 2-1 and still had his chances. Now we've got a home tie against Newcastle. So coming on to that then, we'll come on to Gilly's part of the show where we come and do this.
Auto no better predictions.
That bit.
right, okay. Well, we are ready to go. So it is top of the league down. So Mr. J.
I've been thinking about this for like the last 10 minutes while we've been chatting.
And you still haven't got an answer?
No, I have got an answer, but I said before we're not getting anything at Newcastle, but I'm going for a shithouse 1-0 win. I don't know why.
Hang on a minute.
You can say whatever you like. You don't get to argue my choice, mate. That's what I'm
You didn't you say earlier you can't see how we beat Newcastle?
I can't, but I live in hope. I want us to beat Newcastle.
You just don't want that minus five with me in second place. That's what it is.
I nearly went for a draw.
What a pussy.
I have to have hope. I just have to.
But on that same vein, look, do you remember what I said when you asked about how we were going to get on?
At Newcastle, we're going to get beat, you said, I think.
I said, head says get beat, heart says draw.
Yeah.
I've gone draw.
what score have you gone?
I've gone 2-2.
Desmond. Right, I think it's going to be a very, very, very tight affair. I don't think there's... Actually, no, fuck it. I think there's going to be loads of goals in it. You're looking at yesterday. I think we're going to win it 4-2.
Oh, fucking hell.
Bamford. I want to come on to Bamford.
I would love it if we did, mate.
I would love it.
I would love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It keeps.
But I think if we win that game, it's a scraped victory.
I think Liam B was the first in with the comments, and it was Leeds 1, Newcastle 1. Would love a win. It's on 1-1.
I mentioned Bamford there. I just wanted to come back and I don't know what your thoughts are about this. The professional footballer had to deactivate his Twitter at Bamford with abuse he's been getting. Shocking, not needed, Luke Fisher says. I haven't seen a lot of the abuse, so I cannot possibly comment. I haven't seen it. I don't know what's actually been said, but he's obviously read something he doesn't like on Twitter, because he liked the post about Izzy Brown, actually. Izzy Brown had posted something like, what is it with kids and fully grown men commenting on footballers who've never stepped foot on a football pitch? And then underneath that was loads of shit about Bamford from Leeds fans. I didn't read it all, but I read some of it. And it wasn't nice to read, but this is a professional...
Also coincides, I don't know if you saw it, it also coincides with a video made of... A compilation
That's right.
Bamford's missus.
Which is very sad, by the way.
His missus. His shots of stuff missed. Not videos of his missus. I just want to...
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah. Look, if you've got that much time to go through every miss that Bamford has made since he's been at the club, then there's something up with you. Not Bamford. There's something 100%. More up with you if you've got that much time. And look, I think the issue I've got with it is when it's personal and personal. Like, look, he hasn't been in great form, but he's served the club very, very well.
Yeah, I think you've also got to think of the timing of it.
Agreed.
You know, we've got 3 games to the end of the season, and they're the most important games that we've got for God knows how long. You know, as important as Brentford were last season to try and go and get a result.
And you're smashing the guy's confidence further.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's absolute madness. I mean, I've got a bit of a bitter, so I'm not going to say any more right now. But for me, the timing of it's madness. I think the one thing I would say on it is, you don't even know if that were him or his media team.
Yeah, possibly.
But the thing is, he's got a lot of mistakes. You don't know if it were them or in that had liked the post.
He's likely read those in the lead up to the most important 3 games of our recent history.
Yeah,
I think the fact it's been deactivated, his team, I don't think, would have reacted like that. I think that's probably him. But you don't even know if it was him that liked the initial tweet.
No, fair. Yeah. Fair. But just on that same thread, I did find the funniest conversation ever. And I'm just gonna read it out to you all, because I mean it might not have been that funny to you lot, but I found it absolutely funny as fuck. So I'm gonna read it. So Izzy Brown put, I understand everyone has an opinion, but who are these little kids or grown men commenting on football week in, week out when they've never stepped foot on a football pitch and want to tell a professional footballer how to kick a football? Make it make sense. Big Dave 91 says, tell you something, when you were at Wednesday, you didn't play a single minute of fucking professional football. Izzy Brown replies, so he didn't start the first 3 games of the season until I got injured in training. David then goes on to reply, aye, and now a shite. Izzy Brown responds, nah, just team of the week in the first game of the season. Lewis Nixon then jumps in and says, buzzing to see you carried the form on, mate. Nailing the coffin, hitting first man against Rotherham, you wank bastard.
Poor,
I mean, Izzy Brown's one of those that could have written himself into Leeds United folklore if he'd not screwed up that free kick against Derby in playoffs. Yeah.
What, that one that hit the corner flag?
Yeah.
Out for the entire season, we finally got to see him on the pitch. He got his chance.
Here he is. He's written in the stars. This is his big moment. Go and take it. It's yours.
And Steve Morrison'd it.
Steve Morrison'd it. Fucking hell, that was tragic, wasn't it? But yeah, look, Izzy Brown, happy retirement, mate. Seems he's taking it really well.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm pleased for him. Get your feet up, lad.
I don't think he's going to want to come on here, by the way, lads, anymore. But
probably,
yeah.
He
was begging. He was on the phone to us to come on before. Gilly, how's things going, mate? On the 400 miles, fucking bastard of a challenge.
So it's going. I mean, I don't want to blow my own trumpet and all of that stuff, but I am absolutely smashing it. So I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. There's been tough minutes when the weather's been shit and you look outside and it's murky and it's grim up north and it's rainy and you're thinking, fucking hell, can I really be asked with 7 miles on this? And then you lads all convinced me that it were a bit easier on bike. So I got out on push iron. First time I have done in about 10, 11 years. I'm using muscles I've not used in that time. And then I'm walking like John Wayne and my undercarriage is sore. And I'm back to walking it again now.
Have you not bought yourself some padded cycle shorts?
So I've got them. I've got them, but they didn't they didn't keep me from getting injured. So I've actually had to not back out, but take a little bit of a rest. I've got a knee, and I'd probably put the video in here if you want, but I don't, I'm sure nobody really wants to hear it.
Nobody wants to see it. It's awful. No,
my knee creaks like it needs WD-40 and it's fucked.
It
basically
does sound like a band or in the wind. It really does. It's awful.
So I've had to take a bit of a break. Well done, Gilly and Carl and Bren, who are still and Lou, who are still smashing it. So between them, they're still doing really, really well.
It's going to be a big finish, though, Luke, when you have to do like three marathons in like 3 days or something to get your miles.
I'm not seeing my specialist until the 16th.
I did offer.
Yeah, you did.
I said that I'd bump up my miles to cover off the shortfall. I did. And to be fair, you're getting through some. You are doing it.
I'm still doing more than general walking about. I'm
still
limping.
I am, mate.
Anyway, I did put the link if anybody hasn't or does want to donate. There's a link in the description on YouTube today, just so you can find it a bit easier. I have got them out here. Look, let me try and get them up.
Only for two, please. Put your feet away. It's not that sort of podcast.
Jesus.
So, yeah, let's well done. A couple of other little things to speak about as well before we go. Obviously, massive advocates on here for mental health, men's and women's. But our contact, our friend from one of the Leeds branches has asked me to inform everybody that there is a new site of Andy's Man Club opening at Pudsey. And that's at G&H Group, Furlands Mill, Pudsey. And it opens on June the 5th. So, get yourselves along to that one. But also, they've got a few events which Gilly's very kindly popped up on the screen coming up. They've got on Thursday the 25th, they've got a pool night at the Northern Snooker Centre on Kirksville Road, R6-9. And they've got Monday the 29th, they've got a Pudsey Walk and Talk at their new venue. That's open to everybody, friends, families, partners, etc. Get yourself along. get yourselves along for a bit of. A bit more therapy if you need it. You know, get out there, get some things off your chest if you need it. So yeah, thanks ever so much to Lee who sent that to us for us to share. I also understand that they've got they're actually going to be on Emmerdale. I think it was Emmerdale on one night this week. Andy's Man Club is going to be on Emmerdale, so keep an eye out for that as well. But yeah, our DMs are always open if you don't want to go along to one of these clubs, or you can anybody, any one of the podcasts, you can talk to, or even the pod inbox as well is always open. So absolutely. If anybody wants to give us a shout, you're struggling or whatever, give us a shout. Right then, last but not least, and Jay's favourite part of the show, our Gillies actually, which
it tends to be Gillies.
It does tend to be Gillies, but because you do the intro, let's just do it.
Ought to know better with Rachel Adedeji.
So I don't know. I know Gillies got one this week, but Jay, have you got anything? Because you don't. I haven't really said much tonight. I'm a bit weary. I'm a bit worried about you. Are you all right?
Well, I mean, you guys made a quip in the pod chat the other day about how I talk over everyone. So I'm just like sitting it out and letting you lads talk tonight. I'm just observing.
He took it personally, that, hadn't he?
That, and I'm absolutely knackered and my eyes are killing.
That's more like it.
Stay awake.
I'm not surprised listening to us.
Well, is that it? Yeah. Is that your bitter of the week?
That's I don't have the energy to have a bit of a. There's nothing to really get wound up about. I'm not angry about anything. I'm just
disappointed.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I could start on about Rads and Victor Orr and beer all night, but I ain't got the motivation.
No, that's fine. Go on then, Gilly. It sounded like you had a really good one for us this week.
Well, I'm not sure how good it is. I think I said I was quite zen about relegation, and you know, we've talked about the board and whatever else. No. We also talked about the timing and the Bamford stuff and thinking about, you know, piling pressure on players in three of our most critical fixtures in years. I think when you look at the timing and things being said and that sort of thing, it's that Scotch Park Kyle Pilkington bastard Phil Hay that's going to be in the firing line this week. You know, the piece that he's written in The Athletic. So if you look at his timeline, so... It was highly thought of, working for the local paper in Leeds, highly thought of, had the inside track. Obviously, The Athletic bought him. you would presumably expect him to buy all of his contacts and so on, but actually, I don't think he's got the inside track in the way that he used to have anymore, and he's fighting to stay relevant. He wrote a book off the back of Bielsa, actually completely fucking slated him, so he could get in the bin for that. But ultimately, what he's done, I haven't read it. I have read excerpts of it, which is why I don't like it, but I haven't actually...
I don't want the trick question to like make you look bad around. I just wonder if anyone actually read it. I've not.
No.
I don't read books anymore. I listen to
audio books. I don't even do that.
Ultimately, you know, we talk about the timing of things and things like that, and then he's written a piece during this...
Anymore. I've never read much.
In this month, this absolutely critical month for our club, we then see a piece in The Athletic that's in, you know, it's a bare-all story about the intricacies of the board and the fallouts, and it were Otter and it were Rads and it were this and it... Who gives a shit? Don't say it right fucking now. You've already had your pound of flesh from this club many, many, many times over. Just shut your fucking face until end of season and then say whatever you fucking want. Don't do it now.
It was like the sacking of Bielsa. He announced it before it had been announced. He gets a bit of a kick out of being a dick, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
He's also very dodgy. sorry, a Jambos fan and a knobhead as well, according to Jay Michaels.
he's had it this week. He can get fucked.
I don't agree with the timing. And look, I think at a time where we actually do need to be united, and it was going the opposite, wasn't it? Before they sacked Gracchi, you know, things weren't going well. You're not fit to wear the shirt, Chance. But now it almost seems like we might have got that little bit of a bounce now from Sam, and hopefully we can get behind the lads for the last... It's only three games, you know. We've got 270 minutes of football to save a season. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I might not say the same thing at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. I probably won't be able to say anything, in fact, because I'll be very, very drunk. But it's either way. But yeah, thanks, lads. Thanks, everybody, for your comments, as ever. I think that pretty much wraps everything. Any other business, guys?
I don't think so, mate.
No, let's get it done, mate. Hour and a half.
Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. We'll be back, or I won't be back, but somebody will be back after the Newcastle game at the weekend. Other than that, we've not got a right lot going on. Do check Twitter and things out, because I'm sure there'll be some updates on there as to who's going to be on and everything at the weekend. But yeah, anybody's there on Saturday, come and say hello. We'll all be in the Peacock before and after, I should imagine. Lovely to have you all in the chat, and yeah, we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto No Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast.
You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address at OrToKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.